This is Will's Band of the Week for December 1st, 2019. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am, back again.
Yeah, and what do we call this podcast? It's the last regular podcast before the end of year extravaganza series begins, right?
Well, I'm privileged and honored to be invited. Yeah, just rounding off the regular proceedings of the year.
Right. How is your top 10 list looking?
Oh, it's held a piece of paper here somewhere. I could rummage through some drawers. It's looking good. Thank you. How's yours looking?
Yeah, I'm pretty settled on 9, and there's still a little bit of, you know, bands fighting it out for number 10. So, I don't know. I narrowed it down from like 6 different things down to about 3 to make the final. You know, that's a coveted slot, right?
Yeah, well, we've been looking at sharing with each other In our extensive pre-production discussions with the whole group, the team. Do you call it a team?
Sure.
Loosely.
Yeah, we could call
the collective.
It a team. Yeah.
We're sharing these lists from record stores around the world and, of course, the blogs, the journals. Interesting to see how our correspondence ones compare to the professional journalists' lists.
Right. Yeah. You sent links to a couple of good ones from... Like, there was a Manchester record store, and I can't remember where the other one was.
Brighton. That's okay. Good. Resident Records in Brighton is a very good store, and also Piccadilly Records in Manchester was the one, yeah.
And there was one that I stumbled upon, one that just happened to be from Glasgow, and then I was wondering where the store was, and I looked it up, and I've been, like, right there, where the store is, not inside the store, but, you can look on the Google map, and you can see exactly where it is.
Was that mono rail or is it just mono? The
word
mono records in Glasgow, maybe.
You know what? I think I was in that store. Now that I think about it, I was because there is a coffee shop / music venue called Mono, and the record store is right next to it. It's attached. I think part of the same building. Because now I remember being in the coffee shop. There wasn't a band playing at the time. But so I didn't just get to see a band there. It looked like a cool venue, though. So I remember I walked next door, and they were featuring a CD by a Glasgow band that I was familiar with, and it was cool. So now I think it's even more fun that I've stumbled upon that list. Even though I'm a digital music guy, so I'm a terrible customer for record stores, it's still fun to go in them, right, and just see what they're promoting and see what, you know, what's playing in the store and stuff, just to be in a music atmosphere. We lost Craig for a moment there, but you're back.
I think Boris Johnson pulled the plug.
I was thinking that may have happened. Yeah, I was concerned.
He likes to control the state media.
Yeah,
and all means of communication.
We're all turning into the old Soviet Union now, aren't we? The whole world's turning into.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The methods his party is using in the general election here, unbelievable.
Yeah.
False. Just it's like we are in a post-truth society. Is this crazy? Is any means legitimate in war? I don't know, but it seems a bit dirty. Anyway, we don't want to get too much into politics.
Yeah, we're in that state here for sure. And I haven't. They haven't been covering the Brexit stuff over here very much. I'm gonna have to, get on the BBC website or something, or the Guardian or something, to update myself on it. But
I wouldn't recommend either of those.
You would or wouldn't?
No. Well, The Guardian is very left-wing, which is good.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I agree with them. But then the BBC is, if you lean a little bit left, the BBC is considered to be right-wing bias. If you lean a little bit right, you think the BBC has a left-wing bias. Maybe it's neutral, but everyone hates it.
So what is the so I would I honestly am always just looking for the truth media, you know, like I want the facts to be reported. You know, so where should I go? What should be my go-to UK press source?
Yeah, I don't know. Twitter?
That's a sad state of affairs.
Probably not Twitter. If anyone knows, they can write in.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
So where we were is being in the record store that had the list, which was cool, that I put that together. It was fun to realize that. And I remembered the name of the band. It was Sacred Paws, who had their CD featured in the store. And I thought, hey, that's cool. So yeah, there are a lot of different sources, aren't there, of end-of-year lists. And it's kind of fun to look at them. And of course, it always happens that you see some and you're like, oh, I missed that one. And maybe I really would have liked that album. And there's just no way, you know, this late in the year, you're not going to have a chance to go back and, you know, amend the list. I don't think I've rarely ever done that because it's too late, right? If you say you have like a week to listen to something now, you're going to be, oh, I think that's number seven. You know, that's hard to do.
You have this strong emotional attachment and I guess a bit of confirmation bias towards your favorites by this time. Like top five is pretty unshakable.
Mm-hmm.
And so the chance of something new, you see something on the Mono Records list, you think, oh, I missed it. I probably would have liked it. But you know, you can't break into your top five at this stage. Too much attachment to those favorites by now.
And I think maybe part of this is just having too much data. But now, like in the music software program, it will tell you how many times you've listened to every track. And
yeah.
I think I'm not sure if it's always accurate if you use different sources, like if it always syncs properly with your phone or whatever. But I think sometimes I find myself saying, you know, that you've got to give some credit to what did you listen to the most. Or on the other side of it, I was going through a bunch of albums and there was one that was like, this is a really cool album. I should maybe have this in my top 10. And then I looked and I'd only listened to it like three times. And I thought, you know, if it didn't make enough impression on me to want to listen to it more, then it probably doesn't belong in my top 10. You know, I don't deserve to have it in my top 10 if I haven't listened to it that much, you know?
So, yeah, sounds fair. You could put it in there for credibility purposes, but would you be being true to yourself? I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, we do what we want. We set our own standards, right? But, you know, of course we put all kinds of thought into it because of the great importance of it, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, more fun this week, right?
Yeah. Three bands and some live reports.
Yep. And even before we get to the live report, we've got one of these.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for the
mailbag.
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 Yeah.
That's cool. I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, it's fun to play that, right? We need to get more mail so we can play that more often. So Jeff Lobo contacted us, and you were, your memory was a little better than mine. You remembered that he had contacted us about a year and a half ago. And that was great. So thank you, Jeff. The most recent contact he mentioned, and this is so cool. He said he wanted to let us know that we have another listener who always listens to the end. So he got Jeremiah's buzzword, quiz word, Ofarex, which that was the, remember what that is?
Ofarex.
Or I don't know if he spelled it right. He spelled it O-P-H-I-R-E-X. But what it is, according to Jeremiah, it's the snake bite thing that Jerry Harrison from the Talking Heads invented. Oh, it's not a, it's not an antidote, but it's something else. You still die from the snake bite, but you die slower. So therefore, you might be able to get to the hospital in time.
That reminds me of when we were going to China. You can have a few vaccinations, like the ones which you would have for ordinary life in the United Kingdom anyway. They just give you them for free because they don't want you bringing back anything.
Sure.
Which, but things like rabies, I mean, it costs, I don't know, $200 or something equivalent, £150 to have the vaccination. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really change anything. If you get bitten by a rabid bat or dog, mm-hmm. you must go to the hospital immediately or you will die within 24 hours. If you have this vaccination, you have 48 hours, that's all. But you still must go there immediately. So we thought, it's just no point in having that one.
That sounds like the same concept.
Snakes. Slows it down. Yeah, similar.
Yeah. It's best to just not get bit by the snake. That should be the priority, I think.
Yes, prevention is better than, I don't know, not really cure in this case, death.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So then Jeff also mentioned that he thought the Carsick Cars comparison to Sonic Youth was interesting, and he actually was familiar with Carsick Cars. He said he's liked them since the 2007 album. So that's pretty cool. Where else are you going to find Carsick Cars fans? And he recommends Slater Kinney live. He said, even though he's not a big fan of the production on the latest album, they still sound great live. So,
This is an interesting thing. Aging rock has come out with a new record and you don't like it that much. It could kind of deter you from going to see that tour, couldn't it?
Yes.
But yeah. So it's good to hear this, you know. Sometimes it's still worth going anyway because they could still be a good live band even if the all of the new material isn't great, maybe.
Yeah, and when they bring in a different member too, you don't know how that's going to affect how they come across live. But apparently they found... We reported on that hard-hitting music news item, the new drummer for Slater Kinney. And of course, I forgot her name already. But she had indie rock cred. Seemed like a good match. So... That's from Jeff, formerly of Asheville, but recently relocated to Boston. Asheville to Boston. That would be, I guess, a kind of a different vibe in those two places.
Yeah, Boston's a little bigger, and they always say it's the most European-American city. I don't know if I agree necessarily. It's a very nice city.
Yeah, I've been to Boston. I liked it. I have never been to Asheville, but many people have told me that Asheville's cool. So I would like to go there someday. Probably will.
Kind of like a Madison, I guess, is it the South? Yeah, North Carolina's in the South.
Yeah, Southeast, but would it be it would be considered part of the South. Yeah.
Yeah. Below DC, the Mason-Dixon line. So.
Yeah. All right. That was a good mailbag. Keep them coming, people. And now, time for this. I have no live reports. But when have we ever had Craig on without a live report? Has that ever even happened?
I think it's happened, and I was starting to get intimidated by Jeremiah's globe-trotting.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
If he's at home, he sees shows all the time, and so I thought, well, I better up my game here.
Yeah.
And so I'm back, and I'm not even going to report everything that I've seen because it's too much.
Yeah, you're just going to give us the highlights.
Yeah, let's do this. Well, what can I say? Comet Game. I think this is definitely the first show they've played since the new record came out. That was around September. And this wasn't really even a proper show. It was at a record store celebrating the 5th birthday of the record shop, which is pretty nice. And it was free. And it turns out the singer from Comet Game works there.
Oh,
and
really?
So his colleagues, the cheapest band they could get to play at their 5th birthday.
Oh man, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, this guy, he's just real mercurial, isn't really, I guess it's good enough, enigmatic. You know, he's a genuine aging rocker, and you think, I wonder what he does for a living. Whether this, it could just be a part-time interest of his to help out in the record store, which is fair enough, mm-hmm. but maybe it's his full-time job.
Yeah, could be.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were having a bit of debate. It said 7 p.m. till 9. I thought, well, Comet Gain aren't playing 2 hours. And it's free and it's going to be small. So what should we do? What time should we get there? Well, and I was saying to my friend, no one will be there. Let's just get there at 10 to 7 or something. And he said, well, I don't know. You know, they haven't really played very much. So we got there at 6:45. The band were there, setting up, and there's about 10 other people. So we were fine. But we just kind of went into the record shop door and walked forward as far as we could because the band were just setting up. And then we were lucky we did get there at that time because more people came and then you couldn't move. Mm. There was about 50 or 60, no fewer, maybe 30 people there in total in the end. But everyone was jammed in their spot. So we arrived, we walked forward and stayed. So it did work quite well, actually.
That is so, then, it's so funny, you know, it's like one of the good things about being fans of music that isn't necessarily, you know, really popular. Yeah. You know, other people go to see Taylor Swift and then there's 15,000 people in the arena, right? Yeah. And you walk in and there are 10 people and you're standing right next to the band.
Yeah. So he came around, David is the guy's name. And so we were there in time. He said, he sort of shuffled over to us. It's the first time I've spoken to him, having followed them for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And he's, "Oh, we've got some free tote bags. Do you want one?" And so I've got the tote bag. It's hanging on the over there behind me. Comic game bag.
Cool.
And then four cans of lager came out. And they said, "Oh, we only have four cans." So we took, well, there's three of my friends, or two friends and me. So we had three of those as well. So free beer, free bag, free show.
You can't beat it. Are they playing?
I thought it was funny how they had a fifth birthday for the record store and only four cans of beer for the whole audience.
You guys got them. That's awesome. Yeah. And so, well, how did they sound? Did it sound like super DIY, low key kind of thing?
Yeah, I need to caveat this. I mean, I really enjoyed it, and I'm inclined to put it in my top live events of the year. Not to give any spoilers, but I must caveat it by saying, I mean, one of the friends there said it was just so shambolic. And the sound was terrible, really. And the female co-vocalist, she was so out of tune. But I think that's kind of her singing style anyway. But I mean, because the PA was so appalling, I think it just accentuated it.
Mm.
But I thought it was great. I absolutely loved it. Each song starts off in this sort of shambles and it sounds just a real clattering mess. And then when it gets to the chorus, it's just moments of melody and harmony. Just wonderful, wonderful. So I think it was great. They played a couple of the new songs and some deep cuts from the old days. With some between song banter was hilarious. I've read it so long ago, I can't remember, but he sort of said, "Hello, we're Comet Game. We never rehearse. Please forgive us." And then they went into the first song or maybe something like that. And then I hate this song. And I've played it 10 million times. And I still don't know the words. And they played one of their greatest songs from the old days. And he got the words completely backwards and wrong.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was just a real fun event. And I think they played for about an hour. It was pretty good, really. From 8 till 9, maybe, or something like that. Maybe 8. 7:45 till 8:45, maybe.
Are they doing other tour dates?
Not that I've seen. I really hope they'll come back. And I guess they're winding down, really. But amazingly, all of the members were there for this. I mean, over their career, they've not been able to get everyone to be at the show. Sometimes it's just him. Sometimes the guitarist won't be there, or the bass player will have a stand-in. Every main member of the band was there for this, which I thought was pretty cool. So hopefully there's more to come. Hope so.
Yeah, the new album is really good. So, yeah, you'd hope they'd keep going.
Yeah, yeah. Just a fun band.
Great. Okay, next live report.
And then we went to see, we may be hearing more about this band. My friend Andrew, he used to live in London. We used to hang out quite a bit about 10 years ago. And then he said, "Oh, London's too boring. I'm moving to live in Shanghai." And then he lived there for a bit. Then he lived in Taipei. And then he moved to Nairobi for a bit. And now he's back. And he's living in London again. And so he always used to introduce me to some... I listen to lots of jingly-jangly indie pop, but he's more on the electro and synth side. And so he always introduces me to different kind of stuff. And one of the bands he was talking a lot about was WH Lung from Manchester. And there's a venue in Bath, southwest of England, near Bristol. And the venue's called Moles. And it's a little subterranean, you'd guess, at a venue. And it's legendary. It's been, I think it's 50 years or something like 40 years heritage. And many of the famous British bands you'd have heard of, Oasis, Radiohead, Blur, The Smiths, all have played here on their way up, sort of thing. Coldplay, I'm sure. Muse, I don't know exactly, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
Pulp and so I've always wanted to visit this place, and then I thought, oh, it's 2 and 2, it's Saturday night, so let's go. And WH Lung, wow, they're just great. Little bit, the songs are quite extended, and I think the bit of the press refer to them as krautrock. Maybe songs, maybe 6, 7, 8 minutes. Some of them, one might be 10. But then there's definitely a New Order pop influence in there. So you just find yourself sort of dancing, and the music was very catchy. Does it really matter if you don't know the music that well, and if it's a gig? Does it matter if it's 3 minutes or 10 minutes? If it's just really catchy pop music, I don't think it does matter so much if it's live as opposed to on the record. So yeah, just really fun. A great front man. Really, the band were just doing their thing, the krautrock sort of extended songs thing, and he was very kinetic on the stage, lots of sort of almost yoga poses and leaning out over the crowd and jumping and dancing around, and great, lots of expressive vocal style. Really enjoyed it.
I read a little bit about them, and there was a remark that they were pretty much a studio band, and they were conceived as a just a studio project, and then when they figured out that they could play as a live band, they had to just reinvent their band, and like it was almost like being a cover band of your own band, somebody was saying. And so apparently, from the sound of it, this, and I read about it too, that this guy is a super dynamic performer, so it's kind of interesting, right? I mean, he goes from, nerd in the studio to this expressive.
Yeah.
I haven't seen what he looks like, but it almost sounds like, like the guy from OMD who just had a real knack for kind of dancing on the stage, and just being a magnetic kind of performer.
Yeah, it really made it. I didn't know what to expect. I thought they would be kind of, as you're saying, almost these nerdy kind of people, or just kind of stationary, but our old joke is about the two guys with their laptops or something. And this is not WH Lung at all. They do have a live drummer, a live bass player, two guitarists, and then keyboards and synths. But I thought, oh, it's going to be very stationary and more about the art. And this guy is just incredible. A real, you can listen to the music, and then he's your focal point. You just keep your eyes on him. It's a really, really fun band, and I hope there'll be more from them next year.
Cool. Well, maybe should we transition into our band discussion now?
Why not?
Yeah.
Would it make sense? Yeah.
Yeah. WH Lung. We decided, we're going to talk about them. So this album came out in April, right? I think that's what I saw.
Yeah. We wouldn't want to give the impression we're slow on the uptake, but there's been so much stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, we have to make space for WH Lung. That's all that's happened, really.
Right. I know, when you think about the possibility that it could have just flown by and we didn't notice it, that's kind of concerning, isn't it?
Yeah, thank goodness Andrew's back and helping me out.
Right. So, also, I think there was at least one end of your list that you sent where somebody had this number one on their list, and it was, a lot of stuff that's in common with a lot of stuff that we like, right?
Yeah, it seems to be at least three record stores have it as a number one, which...
Now that's amazing.
They can't, if it's just one, the one in Manchester, okay, it's a Manchester band, they're obviously going to have a little bit of favoritism, but if it keeps happening, it's kind of, okay, maybe I should pay a bit of attention to this.
Yeah, so now we've probably built it up too much now, so it's going to be a letdown when we play the music, but what track should we start with?
Well, there can only be one. And if you didn't know this band was from Manchester already, tell me what you might think after listening to this. Number 7, Second Death of My Face.
W.H. Lung. The album is called Incidental Music.
Yeah, there we go. I kind of compare them a bit to... Well, Wooden Ships, but with synths rather than the psychedelic rock. Because you just have that... The rhythm section is basically going to be the same for every song-ish. Not to underplay the bass player at all, but the drum and bass is just going to be laying down this platform. And over the top of this, you're going to have the synths making a few of the funny noises there and the classic new wave sound that you heard in that song. And it's just it's fun. I like that kind of thing, I think. I like Wooden Ships a lot anyway. So.
The comparison I keep coming back to is LCD Sound System.
And yeah, that's a fair one.
Maybe it's the, like you said, the incessant beat kind of thing. So, all right, that was one of the three possible picks that I jotted down. So I am going to go with number three, Inspiration. That play a little longer than I intended originally because I got in the zone.
Yeah, you do. That's another good pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're always bound to make the observation when you have songs that are very long, and we're only playing about 90-second clips here, these songs do grow and develop, not necessarily going in radically different directions, but there's subtle changes and shifts like you get with these krautrock style. So after 4 minutes or something, there'll be a subtle change, and then after another 2 minutes, and then sort of rewards repeat listening, I guess. And I find that repeat listening very easy with this because it's very poppy, accessible music, really.
Do they have a light show with their live performance?
Well, when I was describing Bath Moles before in a live report, this is they're playing very small venues still.
Yeah.
And it wasn't... I don't think even the London one was sold out, and that was also a small venue. So they seem to be a band that's getting a lot of critical acclaim, but perhaps aren't crossing over too much into, so they're playing small places basically. So the lights, the capacity for a light show is pretty limited, to answer your question, in these kind of venues.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it would be good, yeah, if they could get up slightly at the next level of venue where they can have the light show too. I think it would be even better, more fun.
Yeah, cool. All right, let's play one more.
Well, Everyone likes an overnight phenomenon. Maybe we should go with that. Number 8.
W.H. Lung. Apparently that name comes from a store. Did you read about that?
I did not read about that. I'm more about the, you know, I'm not really a journalism guy. I just listen to the music.
There's a store in, I guess, in Manchester. And it's a like a Thai deli or something like that called W.H. Lung.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty, that would make sense.
You could probably find the store and go there. And then it would be cool.
Put the music on.
It would make you cool. You could take a photo of yourself there. You know, there is an idea, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you do a thing? Ideas. Didn't you go with your friends to some places where you could recreate album covers?
Yeah, well, we were going to do a series, but I think we just did one. Sort of youth, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Just, yeah, the opportunity just doesn't come up very often, you know, because there aren't that many album covers that are like a landmark. You know,
or if they are, it's hard to recreate it exactly. Okay, you can take a picture of Battersea Power Station, and that's on a Pink Floyd album cover, I think. But that's not very exciting. Anyone could just do that. So
yeah, there's a guy on Twitter who catalogs all of the ones he could find in New York City. So of course, there's a ton of them in New York City. There's like old like Bob Dylan albums and stuff or whatever, you know. And then he'll find the, you know, exactly what building it was taken in front of, and then compare it to like a more recent photo. It's kind of cool. But I mean, with New York City, you could see that being doable, but other places, they'd be few and far between, I would think. Maybe London would be the same, maybe. There'd probably be a lot.
Yeah, there probably are, if you really want to research it.
There's like probably literally a million people have probably photographed themselves walking across that that crosswalk where you know, the Abbey Road cover was made.
Right? Oh, of course. That's that is just
it's the most famous landmark in all of music, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Imagine how many tourists are there every day doing it.
Yeah.
I'd almost like to go there to watch the people doing it. That'd be much more interesting to me than...
Right. That's probably true. People would probably start taking photos in front of David's place in Brooklyn, right?
Well, because that's where one of our foremost correspondents is based.
Once the stalkers figure out exactly where he lives, then they'll start. Yeah, they'll have to fight him off.
Yeah. You took a photo of those towers. Is that a Wilco album in the Twin Cities?
That's in Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Yep. Yeah, I called them the Wilco Towers just because that's iconic, album cover. Yeah. All right, on to the next band.
Who will it be?
Let's talk about Capital. I found this band, and I can't remember where I read about them, because they haven't been written about a whole lot in the indie rock press. But the first thing that struck me about them is that they're from Hamilton, Ontario. So they've probably, if they haven't already been to a barbecue at Anurag's house, they will be soon, hanging out with Basement Revolver. And is there another specific band we can think of from Hamilton? I can't remember, but I know Anurag was saying that it's sort of become a music scene as people who can't afford to live in Toronto move to a nearby but less expensive place. So Hamilton's got a good developing indie rock scene going. So if I had played this first and then said, where are they from? I think, I don't think you'd be guessing Hamilton, Ontario, but to me, they sound like a UK band. They sound like, let's just put it out there before we play any of it. I was joking with Chris that it sounded like, a shoegaze version of The National, which I thought was funny because Chris usually doesn't like shoegaze and he doesn't like The National. So I said, Chris, don't bother listening to this.
He said, I hate both of those elements, right. Which probably means I'll love it.
Yeah, that's what he said. But it's only a couple songs where the guy just, he kind of hits that Matt Berninger register. But I do think it had, and you know, musically, I think they've kind of admitted that they're slow dive fans. So there's definitely some of that. So, there you go. Now you can just turn off the podcast if you know you're not going to like this. Just, forward it to the next band.
Yeah.
Probably like 8 or 10 minutes. You can just save yourself. But the album is called Dream Noise. And I think this is the one that, hopefully I won't prove myself wrong. I think this is the one that sounds a little bit like the National meets Slow Dive. Number 5, Wish I Was Here.
Sing out and not being there, so on display. I bore a shroud and I shed my shell on the day my stomach burst. Butterflies flew out. I bathe in turquoise and I sleep in teal. Do the blue still register in the color of my eyes?
Capital.
Yeah. This is Alligator Era National. It really is, surely.
Yeah, I think
is this a B-side from a single off Alligator by the National?
Yeah, except they never really had the, like, that ringing guitar reverby thing quite as much. Do you think just that song, or did you think the whole thing has that sound to it?
I have to be honest and say this is my first time hearing this.
Okay,
but
so
it's okay. You get my absolute unfiltered, honest first time opinion.
Yeah, so. I knew that you either would have listened to it like once or zero. So this is good. You're just playing the reaction guy right?
Yeah.
You give it like...
Yeah, that, I must say, like, I don't listen to The National anymore. I mean, of course, if you like them, you like them, and they're not doing something that different to what they've always done, but I'm more interested in smaller, newer bands.
Right.
But if you really yearn for the Boxer and Alligator era National, you're going to love this, surely, based on that one song anyway.
Right.
It sounds so much like them.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally does.
It's good. I like those albums by The National. I like the sound of that too. So
Alligator and Boxer, those were like the heart of the... when The National was really great. And then the one after that, was it High Violet? I can't remember that. I think it was a really good one too.
Yeah, I didn't like that so much, but objectively it's pretty good. Not as good as previous two, in my opinion, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. Let's play another one. I've got a very reliable list here. All right. Sometimes they go a little poppier too. And then they sound like, well, I'm going to make a comparison when we play one of the poppy ones.
Put me on the spot and see if I can get it.
Yeah. Okay, let's play number 4 called In Ceremony. Capital. So yeah, that was the poppier side that I was thinking of on that track. So well, I have a comparison for that.
Mm, I like that too. It sounds a lot like one of my all-time favorites. So I think about them almost every day, and I'm sure I mention them every time I'm on the podcast, but it's The Pains of Being Pure at Heart.
Oh yeah, there's a little bit of that. Okay, so there's sort of a, maybe both of these would be compared to this, that track. It makes me think of John Hughes movies.
Oh, I don't know if I think I need to watch more John Hughes movies.
You know, they hit their stride in the mid 80s. So, and I guess 16 Candles and The Breakfast Club, whereas I had to look this up.
Yeah, okay.
The two most famous ones. And then I guess he's not credited as, he's the executive producer, but not the director of the movie Pretty in Pink. And then there was one called Some Kind of Wonderful. So he was always known for having these great soundtracks, and they were always this kind of 80s nostalgic, romantic, or whatever you want to call it, kind of a sound. And so that's kind of that sound. Yeah.
You're 2 for 2 here. Can you pick another one I like?
I don't know.
I think I'm going to like the whole thing based on that.
Well, I think, if you like those two, I'm feeling pretty good about the next pick. Number 3 called Blondie.
Blondie.
Capital.
Yeah, 3 for 3.
All right, we hit the 3 for 3 mark. That's good. When I first listened to this, it and I just had it on in the background doing office work, and I thought, you know, this is right in my wheelhouse of like a style that I really like, but I wasn't sure I was going to really connect with all the songs. But every time I played it, I liked it more, and it just kind of kept creeping into my subconsciousness. And now I kind of like the whole thing. It's pretty consistent. So, yeah, Capital.
Are these aging rockers, or is this a new band?
They seem like, you know, theoretically they could be aging rockers, right, with that sound. But I think they're, as far as I know, they're young. Yeah.
So just on the cusp of a great career. We discovered another band for the listeners. Brilliant.
I'm going to take a quick look here to see. This is their 10th album. Yeah, right. I want to see what they say on their Bandcamp page. Capital is a 5-piece indie project from Hamilton, Ontario. And then it just says when the album's coming out. And then it says, Capital are influenced by an array of genres from 70s punk to modern indie rock. And Dream Noise captures the decades in 11 eclectic tracks. Yeah, that's all they say. They don't say whether they don't label themselves aging rockers. So, and the photos, the art is kind of, there was something in I think it was the first track that I played. There was a lyric about like, being in an ambulance on a dark road or something. There's like a guy wearing a black coat kind of looking away from the camera in this really gray area full of like trees, like in the winter time. So kind of a gloom look.
Yeah, definitely.
Here, there's a photo. I found a photo. They are not aging rockers.
There we go. New band.
Yeah. They look like they could be like, late 20s, maybe a couple of them over 30, but not yet qualified to be aging rockers. They can only aspire to that.
Yeah, the kind of the sound of those tracks has something kind of more polished and developed and honed.
Right.
You don't think that's something as ramshackle as, for example, Possible Humans, where I just said that, like, it's all this stuff just pouring in, and it's a bit all over the place, and it's great. And whereas this is a different kind of thing, but good also.
Right. And it's not like they probably didn't go to the studio where Slow Dive or the National record, right? So no. they put this together, you know, probably on their own or with some other not famous persons. That's cool. So
yeah.
Capital, check it out. All right, we have one more to close out. This is like the official last featured band of the year. Right?
Possibly some bonus material to follow if we feel like the listeners can take more. But
yeah,
let's see. Possibly maybe two more bands.
Okay, we're going to see, because that's what we decided is we could go with bonus material if we wanted to. But officially, we decided we're going to talk about Omni because of their cred with the podcast, right? I think we've probably talked about, if I'm right here, this is their third album, and we've talked about the previous two on the podcast.
Yeah, definite long-term friends of the podcast.
And they are from Atlanta, and I remember when I first heard about them, the connection was that one of the guys played in Deer Hunter. I think he was I don't know if he was a full-time regular member or a touring member. I'm not sure. But he played guitar for Deer Hunter, I think. So he wasn't going to be held back by Bradford Cox. You know,
nope.
So they have. I've always thought of them as kind of quirky, and I don't know. What do we use that phrase? Angular pop. It's something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, those two terms are fair. I can't really think of anything better right now. Maybe when I listen to this again, a bit of inspiration. But that's angular pop.
So they've put out this album on Sub Pop. So it's kind of indie rock stardom. To me, it almost sounds like they're trying to be like they're trying to consciously to not sound too mainstream on Sub Pop, because a lot of the songs on this album are like, they're like decidedly not catchy, right? So that can be either good or bad depending on, you know, what you're going for. Should we just start with a track?
Let's do it.
I think number 3 is a fun one. It's called Moat. That was definitely not the whole song.
There
were like two more seconds of fade out, I think. So, yeah, that's Omni, and the album is called Networker.
I'm going to say it's like a less, I don't know. Anyway, it sounds like Gang of Four somehow, but not quite so punky, maybe a bit slower and looser, if anything.
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison.
Good post-punk heritage from Leeds, UK there. Yeah, good sound if you can get it.
Yep. So, did you listen to this one enough to make a pick?
Well, I tried my best. My preparation was impacted. I was texting you to say this. I was just had it on, and we were doing some things around the house. And Amanda says, "Get this racket off." So, I tried my best. We were working on it, but I know I enjoyed the first. We don't often pick the first track, but I know I enjoyed it. And I hadn't been. Told off at that point, so we'll just go with that. Number one, Sincerely Yours.
Yeah, that definitely justified playing track one.
Yeah, I'm stand by mine. Good when your first impression is reliable. I was worrying a bit, but no, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, and that's, I was talking about how a lot of this is not really catchy. It's more sort of experimental, and this one's more on the catchy side. So
it's kind of, I don't know, it's not so angular and abrasive that it's difficult to listen to. Sometimes the key changes and the speed changes in music can be, oh God, I can't really listen to this, but it's quite easy. Yeah, as you said, that one was more accessible maybe, so. But I find it easy enough to listen to this.
All right. At least more, you're more open to it than Amanda, apparently.
Yeah, racket.
That's a great phrase.
You know.
Yeah.
I think it's a British, I don't know if you'd, Americans would really use that word. But.
Don't use it as much, but it's definitely clear. The meaning is clear.
Yeah. My mum would say that. Anyway. We're still friends. It was a momentary.
That's good. Yeah. All right, let's play one little additional piece of this. Number 7, present tense. It's Omni. The new album is called Networker.
Yeah, it's good. I think it reminds me a little bit of Wire, or at least it made me think, oh yeah, Wire has a new album coming out next year. Something was similar.
I was just about to ask you whether it would be a fair comparison to compare them to Wire. But I don't know if I've got a really good feel for, I mean, Wire has so many albums, and I didn't listen to them back in the, you know, in their early days. So I don't know if I have a good handle on them, but maybe we're going to see them in March, maybe, right?
Yeah, I have seen them once before, and I know I liked the previous album quite a bit. And they've released one song from the new one. It's really good. They're strange. You kind of think they get lumped in with the, well, in my head, maybe I'm completely wrong, but like the post-punk thing, maybe Joy Division and I guess Gamma 4, and you think, oh, they're going to be difficult to listen to. And the album artwork was kind of austere, and you thought, oh God, they're going to be some like hardcore punk, like Black Flag or something. Maybe because they haven't had an album called Pink Flag. But actually, they're amazing pop music quite often, like 2 or 3 minute pop songs. It's just, kind of weird. My impression of them isn't accurate, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting band. So, All right, that's a good taste of the Omni album, I think. So, do you want to do the bonus?
Let's do it.
All right.
4 bands. Let's talk about Richard Dawson.
So I assume this is not the same Richard Dawson who was a game show, or you might call it quiz show, host in the United States. He's probably not alive anymore, that Richard Dawson.
Probably not. This guy is from the northeast of England. I don't think he's definitely not American. I don't think he's a quiz show host. They call him, he's kind of folk, I guess, but I don't want to put genres out there and be completely incorrect. So it's best just to... anyway, he had an album out this year. It's confusing because this is the year 2019. His album's called 2020. And I thought, oh, no, maybe it wasn't this year after all. But no, it's there. It was this year. How do I describe it? No, I can't. Let's just listen to this because one of my friends posted on the social media, this is the best single of the year. And I thought, oh, well, I've heard of this guy. But I don't know much about him. Let's listen to it. And so we could share that with our listeners now and see if they think it's the best single of the year.
Setting a high standard, but we'll give it a try. Richard Dawson.
There we go.
Some really,
don't say we don't bring you something new on the podcast. Something new and different.
Yeah, some very crunchy guitars in there.
Yeah, I thought, as I kind of built him up as this folk musician, and then it's Bob Mould guitars.
Or like a Neil Young thing, like just like blowing out the amp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that kind of ding-ga-ga-ding, sounds a bit like the Rocky theme tune, you know, when he's doing all the jogging up the steps in Philadelphia. Maybe that was intentional.
Oh, that could be.
Because it's about jogging. Yeah. He goes on to sing about how he's very anxious and paranoid, and he's taken up jogging, and he runs all over the place. And the video of the single is him running around. Anyway, it's single of the year, well, to be decided, but certainly good.
Yeah, that's cool. He's a forward-looking guy. Album That's called it. 2020 released in 3 months before 2020.
I think he's a little bit of a contrarian. We could say that. My impression of him, and unafraid to be an individual and do his own thing. So there we go.
Have you listened to this whole album?
I'm working on it. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Cool. So you want to just leave it at that? Is that our bonus?
Yeah, let's just leave it there. A little sampling for the listeners.
All right. Cool. All right. Yeah, I do have some editing to do. And this week is shaping up to be very busy because we're recording the Barrett and Chris and myself version of our favorite music of the year. And then we'll follow that up with a series. And it's just going to be so exciting.
Get the whiskey in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
For the end of year special. Always a fun. I can't wait. I'm not going to listen to your one again. The main Wills Band official podcast. I'll try and avoid listening. And then so it doesn't impact my list. I'm 90% of the way there, but 10th place is up for grabs, I would say.
Sounds good. Wow. Very fun. Okay, everybody look forward to it. And let's sign off so we can get to that. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Craig. We will talk to you again soon. We're in, there's a lot of negotiating going on behind the scenes. Got to get in touch with your people and see if we can work out a mutually acceptable arrangement. So, Yep. Okay, great. Let's talk to everybody again next week. with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.